Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 82 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So during the intro, I noticed that I still struggle with the words registered veterinary technician.
Why do you think?
Registered. I don't know. It's kind of like, and we're not going to go all political, but Joe Biden, one of his ads out on the radio, he talks about how great he is, and he's talking about all the things he's going to do. And then in the end, he comes on and says, "I'm Joe Biden. I'm running for president. And I approve this message." And it just gets me every time. He can't say president, and yet that's what he's running for. So, all right, that's enough of that.
I haven't heard that.
COVID-19, we're still in 2020, nearing the end of October. Halloween's coming up. Beautiful fall weather. Went for a run yesterday at Mulberry Park. I was running along the lake, and I looked over to the right and saw all of the trees changing colors. So I had to stop and get my phone out.
Oh my God.
People behind me were like, what's this idiot doing? And so, I don't know. It was just real cool looking. Took a little landscape.
So picturesque.
Yeah. Yeah. I sent it to my brother.
Interesting.
Him. So yeah, we're here in beautiful Lawrenceville, Georgia. Fall is upon us. Any more comments about that?
I don't think so. I mean, we can definitely feel the fall weather. Kind of interesting. You talked about this before in Georgia, right? It's like, you know, you have fall until 10 and then you have summer and then you have winter. And once the sun goes down, that was very apparent this weekend. It got cooler in the evenings. It was hot during the day. Of course, and then it was raining. So that's about it. As I said last week or a couple weeks ago, we always talk weather on this, podcast. It's kind of
strange.
One of our intros. It has nothing to do with veterinary medicine.
But I think you went to a couple of fall festivals, or at least one this weekend again. So we're still kind of, we being people in our area are still partaking in that. So interesting comment from your sister to you, and it actually was a story we are going to talk about, that you kind of got called out. What's the word I'm looking for? Maybe a year ago, we were talking about a green puppy that was born, and it was all over the internet, and we kind of were talking about the fact that we see that in the clinic here whenever a puppy is in its fetal sac, and if they defecate that first poop, if you will, meconium, I believe it's called, is often going to have a lot of bile in it. And so bile is a very dark color of green. And so we have seen these dark stained puppies that have been born before. And so we were talking about the story, and you kind of brought up the fact and said, well, yeah, I guess the people were just ignorant about what was really going on. And I certainly didn't go back and listen to the episode, but my recollection is we kind of paused at that point, and we defined ignorant is not necessarily stupid. We were not saying ignoramus or...
It was the next podcast, yeah. So we kind of... I feel like I had to apologize to people that were listening and got offended. But so, yeah, I didn't mean it in that kind of way.
Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance just means if you're ignorant of a situation or term or what have you, you just don't know.
I think, you know, since that podcast, we basically, we being you and I, we say you only know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. And I think that is a more lay representation of what I meant by that. It was really interesting to me then, and it's very interesting to me now that what makes news, you know, like what is newsworthy? So the fact that this was a green puppy in one of the Carolinas, North or South Carolina, back in January. Born to, you know, a mixed litter, and the lady I don't know. Like, did she call the news and say, like, hey, I have a green puppy? Was she so surprised by it? So that's the thing about media, right? Is we only know what they're giving us, what they tell us. And so the same thing can go with this new puppy that was born in Italy that's green. Again, did this guy, like, run down the street like, oh my gosh, right. I have a green puppy?
Did he tell his neighbors? Did he call the news station?
Or did he post it on social media and then, like, some local news picked it up and now suddenly it's international news that he had a green puppy?
Was it born in Sicily? We've got down Italy, and I remember it being Italy because when you and I were talking about it, I'm like, yeah, he named it Pinocchio or something like that. But he actually named the pup Pistachio.
And I wrote Pistachio, okay.
I think Pistachio, like the pistachio ice cream, is kind of that lime green. And this pup was truly kind of that lime green color. Back to the intro to the story, though.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you to one of our listeners for emailing us to let us know that that was just plain mean to say that people were ignorant. And so, although it was not necessarily a positive comment to us, I really appreciate the interaction and some of the comments that we're getting. So,
of course, always
keep them coming. But yeah, to your point, the fact that that is national news
in this case, in the US, international
from an international source. And every week when I'm reading stories, either from AHA, AVMA, or other sources, I do stumble upon a story that, or two or three, that I really am just like, really? That's newsworthy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a dog in Oregon got parvo virus and you should vaccinate for parvo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but again, it's those people that you know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. So if someone has never had a pet before, let's say that they are, I don't know, they grew up in a household where their family wouldn't allow them. Their parents said no, and they decide to go get their own. They've never heard of these things. And so that's one of those things we try to preach in here in the hospitals, is that we don't need to take for granted what people do and don't know.
Right.
But as we sit here in this podcast, it's always interesting what people do and don't know. And what becomes viral versus like what's just put out there.
So let's kind of jump into Healthy Pet, Happy Life segment here, and then we'll come back to maybe some other stories. I had an interaction with one of my very, very good long-term clients today. She's got a lot going on in her life with family and other pets, and she kind of apologized at the end of this particular visit and said, you know, I'm sorry I haven't gotten this particular patient in to get him updated. Know that I'm thinking about it. I just got a lot going on. And so that, along with my parvo comment, kind of reminded me that no matter what's going on, you do need to prioritize things. And I would say, especially a young dog or a dog less than 2 years of age, you have got to prioritize getting them immunized against what their lifestyle risk assessment would warrant them being vaccinated against.
Sure.
Because we have, I think, over the last 3 months, picked up several of these stories about parvo cases on the rise in multiple states across the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, there's still comments that they're expecting, they being like industry leaders, or I guess they're not really economists, but they're like veterinary economists, I suppose, or scientists who are studying the way that people interact in a vet hospital, they are anticipating that we will see much more disease like that we have vaccines for, because we being the nation, kind of closed off routine healthcare for pets originally.
Yeah, early on, well, some did, some, you know, just got flooded.
In some states, for sure, they were.
New. So it's going to be all over the board. But yeah, I would predict that we will see some pets in the not so distant future coming in with preventable diseases that we're gonna lose some of them to. I lost my train of thought, but along those same lines, the behavior issues that we talk about and see on a weekly basis, these pets that have been humanized, which in one way is very good, but yet they have no boundaries. They don't know what people without masks look like. They don't know, you know, that they're just a lot of them are just not socialized due to the current environment.
Yeah.
So
we've been doing this since March, so that's essentially a full 6 months. Yeah. And so we are unfortunately already starting to see some pets come back into the hospital that were, I guess, obtained or homed during the corona visits, or just there before the huge breakout of coronavirus. But we're already starting to see it.
And now we're seeing the second round of new puppies and kittens coming in. So two very cute ones today. But I mean, we'll just, you know, 2020 is what it is. No matter who or what is or is not to blame for
it. So speaking of 2020, so do you see like how everything gets blamed on 2020? Have you seen that? So do you remember like when all this first kind of blew up, all of this being the corona stuff back in like March, April, May, and then suddenly there was this like mad wave of media about murder hornets?
Yes, I read.
So they kind of fell off, and then suddenly they're back in news again, and they're being found in the United States.
So did you read the story? I think it was Kane, was the name of the town, Washington State, to where they, I don't know where they caught this one, I'm going to call him a kamikaze type of...
Murder hornet.
But they attached a tracker to it with dental floss. And the tracker is, it looks like it's like 20% of the hornet's
body weight.
And so they tracked it back to the hive. They being these scientists, whoever they were, once they tracked it, they located the tree and they used a vacuum hose to suck all of the hornets out of the tree.
Oh, wow.
And then they're going
How many were there? Did they count it?
I feel like it was either 160 or 600, somewhere in that
so
ballpark.
hundreds.
And I don't know what they are doing with these
poor hornets.
Well, they just got sucked out of their habitat. They're not gonna know where they are in this canister, and
poor,
what are they gonna, are they gonna
murder hornets,
are they gonna study them? Hopefully,
yeah,
but anyway, they're gonna cut the tree down in case there's anything left. Along those lines, I don't think, maybe we talked about this, maybe we didn't, but I did read a story about the honeybees in a certain area of the world have figured out how to kill these murder hornets. They basically swarm the hornet and they start doing their little wiggle dance, and they generate so much heat that they cook the hornet and then they carry it out of their hive.
That's interesting. I've not heard or seen that.
Honeybees with their tracking and navigational system and what they do for the environment, pretty impressive little...
Pretty smart little honeys.
Little honeybees. So,
on the lines real quick of the insects, right? So, and how everything's getting blamed on 2020.
Yep.
So, have you heard of the Joro spider? Because that is like all over the news here in Georgia. It's all over social media here. They're apparently spiders that can be about the size of your hand, not their bodies.
And what are they called again?
They're called Joro. I think it's J-O-R-O or J-U-R-O, Joro spiders.
All right.
So they're apparently not indigenous here to Atlanta. They have come in from Asia. Likely, people are thinking, because we have such an influx of distribution centers. And so we're getting them through like all of these DCs. And they have made home here. So I don't know if it's truly a Joro spider or not, but I saw this massive spider with this yellow, like banana looking body out in the park. And it makes this massive web.
So these are just the what I would call a garden spider.
Yeah, but these apparently are toxic. So they do bite. They're... From what I read about them, they're pretty tame unless toyed with, but then they will bite and they can be poisonous. So like to small dogs and that kind of thing. I don't know about fatal. I didn't read all
just,
of that.
Yeah, I'm just reading the heading. The invasive J-O-R-O,
Joro
spider, may look similar to native yellow arachnid species, but there are a few distinctive traits that help it stand out, like its yellow-hued, multi-layered webs. Huh. Well, I certainly, running around the park, going to the pumpkin patch and doing the hayride, I have seen plenty of what I thought were just the indigenous spiders, but maybe they were the Jura spiders.
Yeah, it's
regardless,
crazy.
I'm not going to get within like...
But they're pretty big. Even those like quote-unquote typical garden spider that you're mm-hmm. talking about, I mean, they're pretty big in yeah. size. Not necessarily the body, but with their leg span.
True.
They're quite big. But the reports that I read on this Jura spider is that it can be up to the size of the palm of your hand, which your palm and my palm are very different. But I would guess that that's... What do you think that is? Like 8 inches wide, thumb to pinky?
Yeah, about six. Yeah, I mean 6 to 8. I think.
Yeah,
is
I mean
good.
That is a massive creature.
Huh. Interesting.
Massive.
Learn something new.
I also
every day.
Don't know anything about it, but since we're on the insect talk, I feel like I scrolled past some creature with an exoskeleton so hard it cannot be crushed by a vehicle. Did you read that?
I did not see that.
Let me see if I can find that real quick. So exoskeleton that cannot... Google's an amazing thing. Be crushed by a car. Let's see if it pulls anything up. Diabolical ironclad beetle.
The diabolical
yeah.
ironclad
so
beetle.
So this was in the Boston News 4 days ago. So tough it can survive even being run over by a car. According to the New York Times. Maybe this is the picture we'll show on Instagram today.
See.
He's really ugly. He looks like our stink bugs, but more charcoal looking. Oh, well, this is a... It's starting
I can't
thing here.
See the picture.
I'm going to help. There you go. Doesn't he look kind of like a stink bug?
Oh, it looks like, yeah, like, it looks like a...
But those like a lump
bugs,
of coal.
Those bugs on, like, the that movie, The Mummy, down in the... deep within the pyramids, and all those big old black beetles start
crush-resistant
wow.
beetle.
Okay, I have
That's
to
crazy.
Correct you, but in all fairness, I had to look this up to make sure I wasn't incorrect. You said, and maybe you know, that an arachnid, which is a spider, is not an insect.
Oh, gosh.
But you said along insects, and we're talking arachnids, and we're talking other
well,
insects.
Bees are considered insects, right?
So,
and hornets. And
right.
so.
Let's remember from our junior high, whatever, biology class, arachnids have 8 legs, unlike adult insects, which have 6. So that's mm-hmm. there are. That's the main difference.
Okay. But okay. there are other differences.
There are other differences.
So ticks, relating this back to veterinary medicine now, ticks are considered arachnids.
I'm not going to go into some subject that I don't know any more than I know about it. So.
Oh, well, ticks are considered arachnids.
So.
Prove me wrong. Anybody, I dare you.
Okay, I'm going to look it
up. Oh, not you right now. I'm just kidding. So some news stories, right? So. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all these things are super...
You're right. Ticks are parasitic arachnids.
Yeah.
I just wanted to confirm.
So all of these social media things, especially like before coronavirus pandemic, current, and I'm sure long after, have been a place where, I don't know, celebrities, famous people kind mm-hmm. of... air things about themselves, give their readers or their fans something about themselves to kind of hook, line, and sinker, if you will. Miranda Lambert, do you know who that is?
I do.
Okay. She recently put on Instagram that she is mourning the loss of her dog, Waylon. So I think it's super interesting. It doesn't go into detail about how Waylon died or anything like that. As we've talked about before, you know, oftentimes people will just put like of natural causes or whatever, and there's nothing really to be known about it. But she basically posted there that her story about how she found this dog with his sister and the song that she was listening to. The article that I read actually said that her song, The House That Built Me, when she talks about Waylon, she's actually talking about the dog mm-hmm. In her stories. But she basically did like a memorial post for the dog, the story about the dog, and basically said how much dogs impact people's lives. And I thought it was really great because at the bottom of that, she gave a shout out to her vet and some specialty hospitals in her area in Tennessee.
Huh.
And I thought that that was fantastic. So then I started reading a little bit more. And I follow both Miranda Lambert and her Rescue Mutt Nation on Instagram. And so, but I didn't really know what Mutt Nation was, or some of the things that they did. But it's essentially a rescue organization. But since coronavirus, Miranda Lambert's Mutt Nation has actually supported musicians or people that work in the music industry that haven't been able to go to concerts or obviously earn an income.
So not necessarily the stars that are putting out the songs, but it's the people in the industry.
It's in the industry. So she is helping them. It says, a true testament of her love for animals, Lambert recently teamed up with the Waggle Foundation and established the Mutt Nation Fund. So Mutt Nation is her group, which helps the music industry employees cover their pets' medical bills amid the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, that's a great
So awesome.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is the first celebrity that I've really seen in this space that actually puts veterinary care out there and I guess puts it on a platform, puts it on a pedestal.
But yeah, it's for medical bills.
Not
very focused and very good. She's targeting who she wants to help and how she's going to help them and why know, it's for the pet's medical bills, not, you know, somebody that needs money or
Go get a new puppy or, you need to buy dog food. It's very cool. It's very cool that she's putting vet bills and veterinary medicine in the forefront of what she's doing with her fund. I think that's fantastic.
So on a sad news, so she was listening to Jesse Coulter and Waylon Jennings on the radio. It reads
when she found
the pets. And so Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, very well-known country artist, a lesser-known country artist to most passed away this past week, Jerry Jeff Walker.
I feel like I've heard the name, but I couldn't tell you.
So you're kind of into new, I'm going to say new, what I would call new country, not the older
stuff. Oh, my dad's into old stuff.
You know, 70s and 80s, I guess. But Jerry Jeff Walker was definitely of that era. I believe he was born in the 40s, I read somewhere. His actual name, I didn't know this, but his born name was Ronald Clyde Crosby.
Interesting.
Yeah. Your dad's first name is Ronald.
But why would you change your name to Jerry Jeff Walker?
Well, what sounds better? Ronald Clyde Crosby or Jerry Jeff Walker? I mean, it's just got a ring to it. It's three names. I don't know anymore as to why he became known that as an artist.
A stage name per se,
You know, Elton John, a lot of these people obviously do that. So, do you know any songs that he was famous for?
Not off the top of my head, but I would bet you that if you sang one, I might be able to join
I'm not going
to
sing one. So, probably his most, probably his most famous song he didn't sing, he wrote. And that song is Mr. Bojangles.
Okay, definitely heard that.
And that is sung by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. So I think his two most famous songs, I think number one is, and this is right up my wheelhouse where I grew up, it's Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother. Have you heard that one?
I don't think so. Oh, not at all. Oh my gosh.
So very popular song. And then Sangria Wine is another very popular song of his. So he will be missed, is missed. And so, I don't know, just kind of relating that back to your country stars. I'll let you talk about the dog show, but kind of sticking with the country theme, the National Finals Rodeo, which has been held in Las Vegas, Nevada for the last umpteen years, 10 at least, and has many more to come, they're moving it from Las Vegas to Arlington, Texas.
Oh, interesting.
Arlington, Texas must be corona-proof or something, because that's where all of the World Series is being held as a neutral site. That's where the National League Divisional Series in baseball was held. And they've had other things there as well. So,
is their population just small, you think?
No, I mean, this is right outside of Dallas. This is where Cowboys Stadium is for football, Texas Rangers baseball stadium. So
we had some friends visiting from Texas earlier in the year, and they basically made it sound like, and they're from I don't remember where they're from.
Aren't they from Dallas, Fort Worth area?
No, it's Saint something.
San Antonio.
San Antonio. Yep. So they're from San Antonio, and they basically made it seem like that Texas was really strict on their coronavirus rules and governings and that kind of thing. And it seems like for all of this stuff to happen and for fans to be allowed in these baseball games and stuff, perhaps they're probably one of the least strict.
I think it depends.
Is that why it's all happening there? It depends.
No, I mean, they had no fans until kind of midway through the National League Championship Series. And then they started letting some in. And I know that because my son went to one of those games.
Gotcha.
But still, when you watch the games, not even 10% capacity. I don't even think approaching that. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting that Arlington gets the National Finals Rodeo and mm-hmm. then is expected to go back to Vegas the next year.
So just totally shifting back to the whole Instagram, social media stuff. You know how last time we talked about how Kristen Bell was mourning the loss of her dog. Mm-hmm. And then we talked on the happy side of things that Jennifer Aniston posted that she has a new rescue dog. I feel like it's so interesting because I do feel like some of these celebrities are using pets to escalate their clout, if you will, or their popularity with people. Mm-hmm. But like Arielle Winter, who was part of the Hero Dog Awards last year as a presenter, she posted recently a new dog of hers. And again, I think she versus Jennifer Aniston, I think Jennifer Aniston is going to get more social media and it's going to go more viral. You're going to see it in more places, whereas an Arielle Winter, you may not.
Right.
But I was going to say somebody else. Eva Longoria maybe is who I'm thinking of. Is like pregnant apparently, and she posted pictures of her deceased pet that has recently passed as well. But again, it's just interesting how people are sharing so much, and I guess it's good because we start to get to see a different side of them.
I was about to say that's the whole purpose of social media. They're trying to create buzz and let you into their life and create some interest. And so, I mean, pets are a big part of most people's lives.
For sure. There's a little bit of emotion, I think, that goes along with every pet that you see in whatever reason. Mm-hmm. From like the plumbing, and I've said this before, but like the plumbing billboards that we see here around Atlanta. I don't know if it just makes you have a little bit more trust in that company or feel more comfortable calling them if you're a pet owner as well or a pet liker.
Warm and fuzzy for sure.
I thought it was interesting. So on the dog show aspect, you're talking about how the rodeo has been held in Las Vegas forever. The Westminster Dog Show is moving from Madison Square Gardens, which it's been held for over 100 years. I think that's crazy. So apparently
it's going to be one of the corona.
Yeah, that's a really long time.
Yeah.
But apparently due to coronavirus, they are moving it out about 25 miles. What does this say?
North of Manhattan.
So this will be for the 2021. I think it's a June 12th and June 13th. But I think it's interesting that some venues, I guess, are planning that far ahead. 'Cause what is that? 9 months away.
Yeah. They're just trying to be, have good foresight and go with that plan. And certainly I would agree. I mean, we're seeing here at the practice, we're more comfortable outside talking with our clients, still keeping our distance.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to kind of get into this new norm. And I think that's probably a good move.
Yeah.
Because they usually have it at Madison Square Gardens, right?
Yep. Which is exactly, it's an indoor venue where they're going is going to be more of an outdoor space. Yep. So it does lend some, some support or some comfortability if you're going to attend.
All right, well, I think let's wrap it up unless you have something else to talk about.
I don't think so. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Make sure to follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Please hit subscribe wherever you're getting this podcast from. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.